Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me here. And just was reminded again through the week, people praying, people that aren't here that said they were praying. Thank you, each one, everyone, for just looking to the Lord for guidance, what to speak on. And as I was praying on that, that was a burden to me what to bring this morning. And in answer to that, it became clear to me to speak on Behold the Lamb of God. So I'd like to go there. And before we do, let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we just thank you for your eternal life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that sacrifice, that willing Lamb of God that came to this earth and meek and lowly and stood in my stead. Bled in my stead, gave all that lifeblood for our life, and suffered death. Father, we rejoice in this one, and as we look to your word to feast on it and find the treasures you have there for us, that we can truly glory in and take joy in what you have for us here this morning. Pray your be with those that are ill, can't be here, those that are traveling, those that are away. We pray your blessing, your close presence to them this very day where they're at. So now we just commit our time in your word. This time the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, to my heart, to each one here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to turn to John 1. And maybe while you're turning, just a little update on camp with New Tribes. I'm one of four or five maintenance guys. So right now the camp is emptied out. All the people went through jungle camp, about 25 different people. And they've finished and gone. Most except one family are still on camp, and they'll leave tomorrow. But it becomes a skeleton town, basically. So we're on maintenance, lawn mowing duty. And it actually becomes a busier time for the four of us because we miss the students helping us with work program. So, it's busy fixing things, getting things cleaned up, and ready for winter as well. So, yeah, winter? Where's winter? Yeah, I've got a snowblower in the shop. Just needs a service. So, that's, just keeping on working there in maintenance at the staff, with the staff. And also pray for there's seven tribes that we keep in touch with and follow. One or two couples that are working in there. And so just the one place had their lawnmower engine seize up or hit a rock. And in hitting the rock, they sheared off what we call a keyway in the shaft of the motor. And you're supposed to use a white metal one, a soft one. They had already had that happen, just put a metal one in, and it split the flywheel. So it basically wrecked the engine. So they're looking what to do there. So just pray for them. Yeah, Porter Hampton, that's a side issue. He is busy, just passed all the language checks. He is able to translate the word into that Nagi language. So they are getting scripture translated the first time just in these past 6 months. So pray for that family there, the struggles that just even simple frustration of a lawnmower, just be able to know how to keep that runway cleaned up. All right, we'll go to John 1 and just read a few verses here. Up to verse 36. Starting at 29, it's the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest, made shown to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. We just trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word, and as we delve into it, I was taken up by the Lamb of God, and this is, behold, look, see, it's a marvel. So marvel in this. And the Lamb is typifying of Christ in unresisting self-surrender to the death on the cross. And it's just a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was thinking through the Lamb through Scripture, we know there was some form of animal skins made for Adam and Eve in Genesis. And then as I was going through the first sacrifice of Cain and Abel, and that's where our story will go today. And then also to the next one I was thinking was the missing lamb. Here's Isaac going up the mountain with his father Abram, and he says, verse 7 of chapter 22, Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And how prophetic these words are even of Abraham. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And then the next I was thinking of was the Passover lamb. And we know the story of all the plagues of Egypt and how that Exodus 12, just read a couple of verses there, just touch on these. God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And each of one of us deserves to be smitten to die. And here is an application. God is using this to picture the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming Lamb, the Lamb of God, which would take away the punishment, would take upon himself that plague that would destroy us. And so then going on, Leviticus talks about the burnt offering, Leviticus 1. And one thing that jumped out at me through the chapter there was a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. And there's the burnt offering of the bullock. There's the going on to the sheep, the goat, or the lamb, and then also the pigeon or the turtle doves. And each one finishes off and says, verse 9 is the first one, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And that's when we become believers, that's what our lives become to the Lord. And that's only because the Lord Jesus was that sweet-smelling savor. That's when we apply that, just believe. It's that echo to me of that Jesus' words to Jairus, just believe. Then we have in Numbers, just a side note, but it's still a picture of the cross and how the fiery serpents came in result of the people complaining. They're complaining about this white stuff, this light bread that. And then these serpents came in Numbers 21, 5 to 9. Turn on to that one. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? So here they're frustrated, they're flustered, they're grumbling, as it were, a spirit of complaining. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set upon it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And my question is, have you looked upon that pole? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And we sing that song, Look and Live. Look to Jesus and live. And then going on, there's other stories. There's the story of when David sinned with Bathsheba, the story of the stolen lamb. We go to the New Testament. Jesus has the story of the parable of the lost sheep. There's the comparison of, the questioning of Jesus, lovest thou me, Peter. And that's a study in itself. The first lovest is, do you agape love me, Peter? And then Peter can't answer that. He answers, I love you as a friend, filio love. And that, finally, Jesus, the third time says, do you even filio love me as a friend? Because this is in, after Peter had betrayed the Lord. So then there's feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed the hungry. So, and then we read of Peter, how was referred to this morning. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is God's way of salvation. There is nothing that I could do to attain to pay for my salvation. And it's as it were, I was trying to live the good life to please God. It was, we say the cart was in front of the horse. You ever seen a cart hooked up backwards like that? Well, that's how my thinking was. I was trying to please God with Hebrews 6, 11, 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. I was trying to please God without faith. We live by faith and not by sight. And so then the next we get into Revelation, and it's the most references of the Lamb. And I'll just kind of go over these. Revelation 5, 6, it's the slain Lamb. In Revelation 5, 12 here, we have on the wall here, it's the worthy Lamb. 6, 1, the Lamb of authority. In 6, 16, the wrath of the Lamb. 7, verse 1. This is all in Revelation. The salvation of the Lamb. And a beautiful one that I'd like to read in Revelation 7. It's the Lamb, our shepherd. And to me, this is so beautiful that I can't just... No, I didn't write the reference down. Oh, I'm a rebel. Seventeen. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, the Lamb our shepherd, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This verse speaks to me of the struggle that we have in life with death. And so... Here's the Lamb that God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. And then going on in Revelation 12, 11, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. So the authority of the blood of the Lamb and the Word. 13, verse 8, the book of the life of the Lamb slain. 14, verse 1, the standing Lamb on Mount Zion and 144,000. 14, 4, the first fruit to the Lamb. 14:10, Revelation 14, the presence of the Lamb, and this is in view of the wrath of God in judgment. And then we get to the joy, Revelation 15:3, the song of the Lamb. 17, verse 14, the war with the Lamb and the victory of the Lamb. And 17:14, the Lamb is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Who is this talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 19:7, the marriage of the Lamb. And then 19, verse 9, blessed are those called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That can be each and every one of us. There's no need for any excuse. The bride of the Lamb in Revelation 21, verse 9, the Lamb's wife. Then 21, verse 14, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then we get into the Lamb in the temple, is the temple, and is the light. There's the light of the Lamb there. So, and 21, verse 27, the Lamb's book of life. And then in the last chapter, I'd like to turn to that one too, to read it. Because here there's the pure river of water of life from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Oh, 22, should be in 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's like a double source here. In the midst, and yet it's one, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Oh, there's one more with the Lamb here. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, we have a hard time maybe to picture this, and yet we have the admonition in verse 18 of this chapter. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. So I'll leave that there and get into the story of the first birth and death that we have recorded in Genesis. It's in Genesis 4. So if we could turn to Genesis 4 with reading verse 1 to 7. We had a very exciting week. Drama, lots of drama this week. It was the birth of our grandson. And I can just imagine a little bit, I think, a little. Because Eve had never seen a baby before. And so you just got to, It was quite a thing. So congratulations, Ari and Joy, and for we just praise the Lord for the gift of life. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doeth not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So here in this story we have the conception and birth of Cain. And Eve says, in wonder and amazement and marvel, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And the word Cain is another word is very close to it in Hebrew. But Cain itself means acquired, acquisition. The Scofield notes here has acquisition, gotten. And the other word associated that comes, it's kani, and kain is kain, with a y in the Hebrew, but we would say with a yin, kain. The other Hebrew word means to provoke to jealousy, and here this is what Cain really struggled with, and for no just cause. Abel, on the other hand, means ascend, exalted, or exhalation. And when I was looking up in the Strong's, it just means son of Adam. Adam is dirt, red dirt. So another son of the red dirt is what kind of Abel came out in the Strong's. So, and there's another associated word with it, with Abel, means a life of emptiness or vanity. And as we experience another world culture, life with no children is an empty life. And yet we know that Jesus referred to Abel, that here's righteous Abel. Also Hebrews 11 talks about in the hall of the Faith Hall of Fame, I call it, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet still speaketh. So Abram's life, or Abel's life, is not in vain. As that word maybe have taken down through history. So we have here two brothers. Abel came by faith. This is the missing ingredient. In our life today, we can come to God in good works. And as we worked with the Papuans, there's a works gospel there that's so strong. They do. And it's already been done. Christ paid for it all. And they don't realize it. They're following a works gospel. Cain came by works. And if we look into their... Abel was a keeper of the sheep. And this word keeper could also mean a feeder of the sheep. So he was a shepherd. He was their protector. Cain, on the other hand, was a vegetable farmer, or crop farmer. And it says, in the process of time, it came to pass. So this would seem that the parents had taught the children the way to God. And the way is what we understand is by blood, a blood offering. And so it would seem Cain, he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And he rebelled what that command was. It says in association with that, Abel, he also brought. So by association of that verse, it says the firstlings of this flock. Well, that's the best, the choicest, the finest lamb, the finest sheep. Where I'm assuming it's from his flock, that of sheep. So it comes out that Cain might have brought also, because the word also is used here, Cain might have brought the best there was of the ground. One commentator said that it might have been just a leftover, as it were, banana, or one that was going black, or fruit that was going bad. It doesn't really show that or say that, but Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Well, what was happened to the ground? Adam, these words are said by God, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Well, here Cain was brought something of the ground, which is cursed. And the instruction is there needs to be a blood offering. And to me, God has made this as a picture. All through Scripture, it's a picture of what's to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. So here this story has been taught by the parents, and it's so important for parents, ourselves, grandparents, to give instruction to our children of the way to the Lord. So Cain brought of the best of the ground, the first fruit, let's say, and the work of his own hands. And what was wrong with that? Well, it was from the ground, which cursed. And it would seem like Cain's, we can glean these from the after the fact. He was coming to God in his own idea. Man's idea has come to God is do good, is to do some kind of sacrifice, but not God's type. So why the blood sacrifice? So this would be a picture of what Christ would do. And this was not the first time that blood was shed. So Abel also brought that firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. We read, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. I was wondering, how did God show respect? And the story of the Mount Carmel was one of the things in the commentary that possibly God came down with fire and accepted the offering that way, and Cain's did not receive fire. It doesn't say, but we know that as much as you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. This as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is where Abel came in faith. He brought this lamb, this sheep, the best, without blemish, without spot. And personally, I came to realize when I was around 22, that this is God's way. And I needed to agree with God and not be doing my own good works things and believe on his way. So it says, Abel's offering pleased the Lord. The Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. So it was difficult trying to have the cart before the horse and trying to live there was never peace. And I see in this situation that we have peace in ourselves. We try to have peace with God. And without faith, that's impossible. And then vertical, that's vertical to God, and then to horizontal with others. And so here, just want to go into Cain for a bit and how he lost that. So Abel and his offering were accepted by God. Cain and his offering were not. The thing is, Cain did not repent. Instead, he became angry. And I was thinking of, what are the things that anger us or make me fret or frustrate me? Sometimes I'll be working on, this past week I was working on a front end of a car or vehicle. And the one joint came apart really easy. It all went fine. The next one was very difficult. And I was just getting a sense of frustration. Well, I don't need to go there. And so to me, in my mind, I need to nip that in the bud. And just thank the Lord that that last one came so easily and that this one's going to come too. It just to have that outlook of uplook rather than being frustrated. And this uplook, as Adam and Eve sinned, there's always a glimmer of hope in each situation. God says to Adam and Eve, of thy seed, there's going to come a seed. There's a promise made there. And verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a coming of the Messiah, that Jesus would totally stomp on the head of the serpent. And so here in this story, Cain is wroth and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? He's giving a second chance. He's pointing out, neatly as it were, what's the matter here? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And I found this hard to understand. And it's not to say that I've got total understanding of it. The word here is, if thou doest excellently. And that's how that verse, that word is used in Abel in Hebrews 11, verse 4. He did the excellent. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Well, Cain brought an offering, but not the correct one. And the Lord is saying, sin lieth at the door. And there's two ways this word sin is. The sin offering is at the door. It could be that's the same word, same Hebrew word for sin offering. And I've always taken it as sin, as in anger, is hate, murder, is there at the door. But the provision is there. And it made me think of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. Are you hearing the Lord knock and asking for your time to commune with you? He will, if we let him. But Cain did not. And there was a verse in Proverbs came up. It says, foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Well, Cain did far more than that. He was wroth. He was very wroth, it says, and his countenance fell. It says it where he lost faith with the Lord. He was so angry against God, and then at Abel, and later turned to murder. And there's another aspect here. In the end of the chapter, it says, Adam knew his wife again. This is after Abel had been murdered. Knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me an other seed, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Well, it's at this point that Cain, that seed, is not his right anymore. He lost that. And it's totally transferred to Abel. It doesn't mean Abel has got Esau and Jacob, that he's the head of the house. No, Abel would still be a servant to Cain. It says that. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So Cain lost the right to the seed, the future redeemer, and he became obsessed with jealousy and anger. Recently, we had in the study of Saul's life and Samuel there, Saul had an evil spirit torment him, an unsettling spirit of jealousy and anger toward David, and in rebellion toward God. And I pray there'd be not one of us here that have that rebellion toward God in your heart. And we read in Ephesians 4:24, it gave room for the devil. I want to turn to a couple verses in Ephesians 4. It talks about be angry and sin not. I'll need to read that starting at verse 24. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this is an act of the will. We need to put on the new man moment by moment, daily. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It's better not to get angry at all. But if you are, don't let it last. Nip it in the bud. The next verse says, neither give place to the devil. And somehow we are giving place to the devil in doing this. And Saul did that. Also in James 1, it talks about verse 17 there, about anger. Sorry, 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So let's not go there, but instead continue being in the Spirit, gracious, kind, patient. And this is God's will for all of us. And we can read through the whole New Testament, through the epistles, of how things to be doing that are the will of God. Verse back to Genesis 4:7b, I've got, unto thee shall be his desire. Cain did not lose his birthright. Cain refused, and he did not repent, but rebelled. And the end of the matter here shows the heart of the beginning. Cain says, I'm going to bring my own offering. It's bloodless, but it's from the ground, and the ground is cursed. And we do the same thing when we live out the works gospel. I'm going to try to please God. No, I'm not going to believe on the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to get born again. I used to shy away from people that talked about born again. I didn't understand it. I wasn't born that way at that point. So I just backed away from them. The bloodless offering, the gospel, the works gospel. But that's not God's way. And I came to realize there is absolutely nothing that I could do to attain my salvation, but needed to accept God's way. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is God's way. There's nothing I can do but believe God's way of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a glorious, what a joy that is to be made the righteousness of God. It just, there's nothing in this world that can even come near to that. Have you agreed to God's way? This is huge. This is what life is all about. This is the message of the entire Bible, the way to God. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I'd like for us to close with the song, Look to the Lamb of God, number 246. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. We'll sing all four verses. Let's close with prayer. Oh, gracious God and Father, we just thank you for that picture we have come to see and come to experience in our own lives for forgiveness of sin through the Lamb of God. And we thank you for that day that the disciples were told, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Lord, I just rejoice in this, and yet I do pray, Father, for anyone that is misunderstanding in their mind, flustered in their mind, don't understand your way, that they would come to you, that there would be victory in their heart this day. And I just pray for the blinds, as it were, to be taken away in understanding of your glorious salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all, has paid the full price for the remission of our sins, the total taken away. So, Father, just pray your strength, too, for the struggles we have in life, the frustrations, and not to become angry with them or complain about them, but to be patient, continue to be kind, gentle. Father, we just pray your help in this as your children. We are weak, and we need your strength. So I pray your help by your Holy Spirit for each one of us this coming week. Pray for Evan, too, as he speaks forth your word this evening. You're empowering for him. Just thank you for the joys of new birth this week and the joys that you give us in our lives. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.